This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London podcast, coming to you here from New Griffin Park. Final whistle, as you can hear it. Fans are not happy. Brentford 1, Aston Villa 2. And this game hinged on one moment. One moment it was. Ben Mee got sent off when Brentford were 1-0 up. And as you can hear in the background, two moments. Ben Mee getting sent off and Ollie Watkins. Basically, it looked like he was taunting the Brentford fans. I've got a little bit of intelligence as to what was going on about that. I'll talk to you about that a little bit later. But this is the moment for me, the game where we could have got a win here, but also Ollie Watkins, who was the favour, he was the star in the jewel of the eye of all the Brentford fans, and this is the day that they turned against him because of one moment. I want to talk to my man about this game. It's a bit of a frustrating one, this one, because we looked like we were in control until the sending off, didn't we?
Yeah, I thought we played so well for so long, really. Credit to the team and Frank for the tactics, because we nullified and we had a formation, we stuck to it when we got the goal, you know. But a sending off, you don't want to get a red card up that part of the pitch, really, with the defender. I think it was a red card. It was probably the only decision that VAR, well, I was going to say the ref got right, but he got it wrong, didn't he? The refereeing was just abysmal. Every little decision, he lost control after an hour, and everything that happened afterwards was down to him. Very sad the way the Watkins thing ended, but whatever abuse he got, standing in the net and giving it large to your fans like that, or his old fans, isn't going to go down well, is it? I'm sure, knowing the bloke, he'll be gutted with that, but then he ought to think about his reactions. But loads to be happy about in terms of the performance. You know, none of us expect us probably to be that competitive today against a decent team, but bloody hell, they're unlikable, eh? I didn't realise we were quite as unlikable as that, but they got the win, we didn't, and let's just wait till the team gets back together and let's do them back at their grounds.
Let's do them back at their grounds. And interestingly as well, as you know, every game home, win or lose, or draw, Brentford players always do a circuit of the ground. But to be quite honest with you, a lot of the players I've seen have actually gone down the tunnel. So there's like a mini circuit. Obviously Thomas Frank and a few of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, probably 6 players doing a circuit of the ground, and Flecken as well. But the rest of them gone straight down the tunnel as well, which is very, very un-Brentford. They weren't very happy, as you probably don't know as well. Brentford, obviously, Ben Mee got sent off, and then also another one of their players got sent off as well. Loads of yellow cards. It was all kicking off, punches in the goal mouth, punches up at the other end of the pitch. It was like one of those Aggie games that didn't seem like it was going to be egging, did it?
No, not the first half was probably one of the best performances that Brentford have put on in the G-Tech this season. The second half, I've absolutely no idea what happened. I have as much idea as what happened as the referee had about that game. It was ludicrous. It was a red card to Ben Mee on reflection, looking at what came up on the big screen. Yeah, he did go over the top, that was a red card. But the rest of the yellows, disappointed in Villa. Villa are a better team and to keep throwing themselves around the pitch and really is a bit sad. You know, there are more players who have come back out to come round and applaud the fans. Some of them subs, but some of them are going round. I'm just lost for words, you know. If that's what Villa need to do to get to be top of the Premier League, I'm rather glad we're in the position we're in. But hey, we'll just have to move on and bring on the Wolves on the 27th.
Bring on the Wolves. Like I said to you, listen, and they're trying to correct me saying, I'm just having a count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's 10 players doing a circuit here to including the subs. A number of players have gone down the tunnel. Obviously, a couple have got sent off as well. One got sent off, Ben Mee, as well. They're obviously not happy. It's difficult for them to come around and do something like this in a game like that against Villa, where they know that they are so much in command, in control. But, you know, as goes, I'm just going to give the intelligence as well on Ollie Watkins. So I've gone down there. There was, reports that maybe Ollie Watkins was getting a particular type of abuse, which we don't like. I went down the bottom and I had a word with a few characters. And apparently what it was is there's a character with a Christmas tree. I can see him down there in a minute now. The guy with the Santa Claus hat on in the first row or the second row. Apparently he was giving a lot of abuse to Ollie Watkins as I think it was the corners coming on. He gave a lot of abuse to Watkins. And when Ollie Watkins scored, he gave abuse back to this character. I think that Ollie lost his rank. He didn't need to do that. He should have held his own and been a little bit more respectful. And that is why the whole crowd has turned on Ollie Watkins because of that. And I think it's a real shame because we do like him, but he didn't need to do that. Disappointing.
Yeah, really so. On the Ollie Watkins thing, I'm sure it'll all come out. I'm not really too sure what happened. You can see he was very upset by someone specifically. There's a lot.
Here is the guy down there. See the guy down there in the Christmas tree hat. That was him.
Yeah,
down
there. So obviously, I'm not there. I don't know what he said. But
Santa Claus.
Either way, it doesn't warrant that kind of reaction. Ollie Watkins knows what that's going to do to the rest of the fans. He needs to remain professional and bottle it and report it to someone if he's that upset. But to rile up the fans like that, it's so quick that you can lose the respect of thousands of people that love you and are so proud of what you're doing. And then all in an instant, it's all gone. I mean, that game was a game of bad refereeing. And that is not a game of football. You're watching a game of drama at the end of it. And it just shows that the importance of discipline. You'd think Aston Villa would be happy and just enjoying the decisions that they think are going their way. But the fact that they're getting riled up means they have no respect for the referee. So you've got two teams, neither of them have any respect going on for each other, for the authority that's out there. And you can see it's just absolute carnage for the last 25 minutes of the game.
And it is disappointing because it's really weird because we come into this game expecting zero. Villa have got a really great record, they're playing really well, expecting zero. We thought we'll come in there, it's a free hit, not going to get anything. All of a sudden we're thinking, oh my God, we're actually doing all right here. We're playing really well. And it's a real shame, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't come into this game expecting zero. To be honest, we're like a proper grudge match for them. We've got a decent record against them. The quality at the end of the Sheffield United game showed that we more than got the ability to play well. And once we know exactly who we're going to be playing with, Thomas Frank's got a game plan in mind, then obviously we can see that we've more than got the quality there. And that's without essentially a starting 11 team out there today. I think the turning point for the game, other than the red card, I have to go watch at home, but taking Damsgaard off, I think he's playing brilliantly. But then again, Thomas Frank, if he's decided that he's going to play him for 70 minutes, because he's only just back from injury, when I'm not in a position to say that he should have kept him on any longer. He looked sprightly, he looked energetic, but you don't want to risk another injury, not with the amount that we've got going on. So it is what it is. I don't think anyone deserves any points out of that game. I think that kind of game needs to be abandoned and refereed again with a proper referee. I just think...
And he needs to be sent to referee jail.
The Championship, commonly known as, yeah.
You bet. Disappointing.
Yeah, I thought we were great at the first hour. I thought that's the best midfield I've seen us play without Jensen in it. I thought Damsgaard was superb. Janel and Norgaard, their usual good selves. The two at the front worked their socks off for the first hour. I thought we lost it a little bit when we made the substitutions. And obviously when Mee went off, that was pretty much it. So,
well, the substitutions, what were the substitutions? Tell the people who were in there.
Well, the Onyeka came on for Damsgaard, which I thought was a bit more defensive. It meant that we had nothing pushing forward there because Damsgaard was our sort of creative pusher forward, chasing them down. So I think that kind of harmed us a little bit. But I thought, yeah, I mean, what a great game until the ref ruined it. And, I was just like, I was so frustrated. I used to moan about these northern sides coming here and just diving everywhere, but now they're West Midlands sides, and I really didn't like it. It was very, very annoying. But I think, as you said, we came in this expecting nothing, but we played a really, really good game and deserved something out of that game. I don't think Aston Villa deserved a win at all. I thought we were, without second team with a lot of players missing, we still look very, very good.
Very, very good. Listen. Game ended 10 men. 10 men each. There's about 3,000 yellow cards. There's all sorts of punch-ups, fisticuffs, punch-ups in the goal mouth, punch-ups on the other side, punch-ups on the sideline. The referee, he was all over the gaff. He had no idea what was going on. Some people might say that he lost control of the game. Other people might have said that he never had control of the game. I've got no idea. We didn't know. The VAR was coming. We didn't know who was getting sent off, who was getting yellow carded. We had no idea what was going on, did we?
Well, I'm trying not... I can hear the passion in your voice, Billy, but I'm trying not to get passionate about it at the moment. But I travel a long way to come to go home games. Nick, Liberal Nick, travels from Devon. We come and we see a game destroyed by one person who wants to be the star of the show. Now, obviously, I'm not going to say that there's corruption involved, because there clearly isn't, but there's certain ineptitude involved where this guy, Villa knew how to play him. They fell on the floor, they got a free kick every time. Now, are Brentford naive? No, I don't think they are, but we're a good club with good people who follow it and good people who play for us. That's why we love this club. And they're not going to react the way Villa did. If that's what you need to go top of the league, I don't want it, thanks very much. I'd rather have a decent club with good principles and values that doesn't behave like that. And as for Ollie Watkins, well, I'm sorry, but he may have had a beef with maybe just one or two people. We don't know the ins and outs of it, but he needs to grow up a little bit. I had a beef with him when he celebrated when he scored against us at Villa Park, and everyone piled in on me then. You don't do that. You don't do that to the club that's looked after you. And it's right, he's finished now, as far as I'm concerned. But he might be finished and have a Premier League winner's medal. Fine, fill your boots, Ollie. But as far as I'm concerned, he can fuck off now. And the other point, I'll come back full circle. I travel a long way to games. I'm actually starting now to question whether it's worth to take, coming down. The football's been brilliant and Brentford battled to the bitter end today. Were brilliant. But games are now being decided by blokes who, in a little box somewhere in Oxford, I don't know where it is, have never played the game. They basically said recently that they wanted to bring in air traffic controllers to help them make decisions under pressure. Bring in some former footballers who've actually played the game instead of these idiots we're getting every week down here now. Every single week, they're ruining the spectacle for me. I really do think they're going to drive people away from football. And VAR, I mean, I don't know if it was a red or not. I've heard it wasn't that much force when you compare with the tackle from Enzo on Norgaard. But it doesn't seem to be a level playing field, and I'm just fed up with it.
Listen, fed up with it. Characters are fed up with it. We're all fed up with it, actually. We're out this way. We're just trying to get out of the ground because we at the end of the day, we just...
Sorry if I went on there.
No, that's all right. That's right. Listen, everyone's got their point of view, and the thing is, there is a lot of frustration there as well. Listen, we don't ever go at referees for the sake of having to go at referees. You know what I'm saying? But we make a comment, and I think everyone commented on the fact that the referee, this game, had... We felt has lost the game. Afterwards, you could see, Aston Villa felt they had him in his pocket.
He said
you
one see. Broke off for them. Nobody even knew he'd sent someone off.
I thought he'd sent someone off from the coaching staff.
It was an absolute joke. He shouldn't referee
you
in the Premier League.
You saw a card come out, get waved in the air. And you had no clue.
There was, honestly, there was a lot of nonsense going on there.
But, you know, some people might say, well, you're feeling a bit bitter because you lost the game. Listen, we're Brentford fans. We're used to losing. Listen, for years we've done that. It's not that. And we're quite objective. You can hear on these post-match podcasts, we are very, very objective. You know, Ben Mee got sent off, which a lot of people think, yeah, maybe he's been sent off. But there was just a lot of other things that were happening today. And maybe you might say that, you know, Aston Villa are a little bit more... they're a little bit more experienced with us in the cynical area than maybe that we should be. But at the end of the day, the referee should be able to get hold of that and make sure that he deals with that. But if anything, you know, like I said to you, it's a shame because, you know, the punch-ups that happened towards the back end of the game kind of livened the game up a little bit. It
got a bit more atmosphere into the... Well, not that it needed any more atmosphere, but it did get a certain kind of vibe going near the Brentford home end and got the fans going. But, you know, as I think... Jim just said, just some arbitrary refereeing decisions ruined a great game of football. End to end, really open game, and then, you know, just he had absolutely no control. But yeah, I think from our point of view, if you want to go back to talking about the football, Godos was bonkers.
Oh, Godos!
Godos,
he's next player, isn't he?
He was ex-player, resigned player. Godos was he was everywhere, playing on a different level. And then he was when it did get a bit tasty, he was the first one to get involved with a punch up, probably with one of his classic back of the head slaps. If he's anything to go by, but you know, it was actually quite an enjoyable game of football, end to end, really open. We had some great little flicked in balls behind. Not only that, we had some like quite intricate play around the box. Sometimes you're probably going to say too intricate. We could have finished off a couple of chances a bit earlier, but you know, it's classical Brentford, really.
I'm going to ask you the Ollie Watkins incident. I mean, the thing is that obviously we were at the top, we couldn't see. Like I said, I've gone down there, did a bit of intelligence, I went down the bottom to try and find out what's going on. But I'm just saying, from your point of view, you know, your view.
I could see him pointing straight away, and he was pointing very, very specifically at one person. Now, I don't know what was said or what gestures were made, but I hope that the club get to the bottom of it. And if a person has been abusing him in any way that's not a banterous way.
I've done the research. I spoke to a young lad who's standing right behind the garrotter. He was in a Santa Claus hat. You know what I'm saying? He's in the Christmas hat, Santa Claus hat, whatever you call it. And I asked him, and I said to him, you know, were there any chants to Ollie Watkins, which you could deem as defamatory, you know, which shouldn't be right, you know, monkey chant or anything like that? He said no. He goes, this geezer was just basically properly laying into him.
My first thought was that there was some sort of clearly racial comment that had been made. Because if there hasn't, and it's just general winding up, then Ollie's gone way, way over the top, far more than he needed to. Which is a shame when you think of his whole history with the club. But I'll be sorry if that is the case, because he would have burnt his bridges. But you know, I hope the due diligence is done by everyone concerned to get to the bottom of what was said and what his reaction was, because you can't do that. You can't go that mad and expect to get away with it. I mean, do you think you could have got a booking for that? Is that something you can get booked for?
I don't know. I mean, you can get booked for taking your shirt off, and that's not that potty, is it?
Taking your shirt off is nothing, really, with standing up and essentially inciting however many thousand home fans
to not be happy
and to get on your back, especially when you've got a history with the club and with those fans. I don't know. It seems a massive, massive shame.
But also, there's another. You know, I'm going to put a sort of, you know, another side of this to it. Ollie Watkins, he's loved by the club. He loves Brentford.
Yep. Yeah.
As he knows the club has brought him up. And you might think also that he wouldn't do something like that unless he feels that, you know, poked him.
That was 100% my initial thought. When I saw him pointing out one person, I sort of feared the worst, that they'd you know, racially abused him. Because I couldn't see him acting that way in any other sort of situation. But, you know, I don't know, really. That's probably not what you want to hear, really.
No, but you don't know. And at the end of the day, like, we weren't there. I went down. I spoke to a young lad who was behind him, and I asked a question. And I said to him, is there any monkey chance? Because at the end of the day, if that's...
It seems so out of character for Ollie that I can only assume that he thought that abuse
was some kind of racial abuse, because he went way over the top of what you would expect from any footballer getting abuse from home fans, which they do week in and week out. He gets that abuse week in and week out from everywhere. So for him to go that potty about it at Brentford of all clubs, you know, it put some doubt in my mind of what was said, and you know, some digging needs to be done to get to the bottom of what happened.
And like I said to you, I only spoke to one character. I mean, he was behind him, young Asian lad as well, who was behind him, and I asked him specifically as well, because as we do, because I ain't having that. I'm not having that at all. So I actually stepped down from the top of the West Stand down the bottom of the West Stand to find out if there was any of that kind of activity happening. I did only ask one person as well, and he said that he didn't feel that was the case at the end of the day. But then you never know. And also, like I said to you, there is CCTV around the whole ground as well. And if there is anything like that happened, they might pick up on it. But I just thought it was quite unusual for Ollie Watkins to go right in on somebody, you know what I'm saying? And maybe it was just a case that this guy was calling him, you know, the C word, or maybe calling him whatever it may be, and he decided that was just wound him up enough, and that's what he wanted to, that's what he wanted to tuck into. Young Scary.
Hello. Yeah, I mean, from my perspective of the Watkins thing, I was thinking basically the same as what's just been said, especially given how much he was celebrating in front of the home fans of his old club. You know, you've got to assume that he's expecting some level of abuse, and that's why I agree that I assumed it was a lot more than that and that it was something racial because of how much he kicked off about it, when obviously some level of abuse is pretty inevitable doing that.
To be fair, up to that point, no one was getting on his back overall. Got a clap when he came on the pitch at the beginning. No one was, you know, kicking off.
Yeah, and like, I agree, he's never seemed... He's always seemed like quite a good bloke. I've always liked watching him doing well at Villa. So I would be surprised if he was kicking off for no reason. But then whether that's not any actual abuse of that kind going on, and, you know, him misinterpreting it in some way. And that's not what really happened. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
He's going to have to do a lot of backpedalling if they...
Yeah, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see once they investigate it a bit further, see what was really said and what's happened.
Yeah, coming to the game.
Pardon?
To the game.
I mean, it was a crazy game. I thought we played really well the first half. And second half, you know, they had a lot more of the ball. But I thought until me got sent off, we're absorbing the pressure really well. I'm sure I've got a slight feeling it might have been mentioned already, but the refereeing was dreadful. From the inconsistency to him at the end just completely losing control of the game. I'll be intrigued. I haven't watched back the me red card yet, so I'll be intrigued to see that. But also, what looked like quite a blatant me penalty fairly early on in the game from a corner. I believe it was, when he seemingly just got tackled to the ground, because that looked pretty blatant.
The defender had two arms around him and dragged him to the floor.
I can't imagine
how that was not a penalty.
So I'd be intrigued to see, you know, see that back.
Because I think one of the factors in this is that Aston Villa have got far more experienced players than us, like John McGinn, who is in the referee's ear non-stop, not getting booked for it. He's in his ear, he's shouting, he's moaning. They're going down at every possible opportunity, and we're not getting any comments from the ref about it, about the, in some cases, blatant diving, and all of their players approaching and surrounding the referee, which we're all told shouldn't happen anymore. I don't want it to sound like sour grapes, because it's not. At the end of the game, you've got to say that, you know, we love statistics. On the XG, they must have absolutely creamed it. I would have thought they had so much pressure all over... on us all over the second half, that you can't really argue with the result. But, you know, it seems very harsh when you look at the game as a whole.
UBs. Back in the Globe, everyone's had a bit of time to pontificate on that game. Lot of talk going down about Ollie Watkins, obviously, as to why he just, you know, did something which we thought was very uncharacteristically Watkins. And some people are thinking that still something may have gone down which may have been untoward. Like I said to you, I've only done a bit of due diligence. I spoke to only one person, and there may be a situation that maybe Ollie had thought that something had happened or been said that was different to kind of what I'd heard. So I'm only just taking my point of view. But at the end of the day, you have to. It's not up to us, as we said, anymore. It's up to the club to go and sort it out. But it's all centre hat man is the person that they need to focus in on, because apparently he was the person that was abusing Ollie. He was in the front row or the second row, right behind the goal, as it was. You know, so it's all good. But just coming back to that game, frustrating because it was in the bag, I thought, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really frustrating, really, really, really annoying. You know, I think we saw the team before, you know, before kickoff, and you kind of fear for the worst because, you know, with Zanka and Roslev at the back, and, you know, we're still looking very light up top without Tony and Bumo. But you know, I knew that they were going to give everything. You know, we've not seen them sort of slack away from, you know, rolling the sleeves up and trying their hardest to get something out of a game, and they did exactly that today. And I thought we looked really, really like dangerous on the break. The little sort of round the corner balls from midfield behind the back line with Wiese bombing on and KLP out on the flank. It looked like, you know, we were causing some troubles, you know. And we could have gone ahead before we actually did, I thought. So with our noses in front, with Aston Villa's form, you know, you're always going to be hanging on in there a bit, because we were tiring. But Mee's red card with VAR, seeing, you know, dangerous foul play, it was the turning point, really. You know, after that, it was like, you know, I was just looking at the clock, seeing if we could wind the clock down. I think the players started to show that as well. And, you know, it's just frustrating that there was two sort of bad bits of poor marking right close in on the goal line, really.
Headers as well, you know, crosses and headers,
you know. It's what you miss with me not being there, isn't it? It's, yeah, that organisation, that calm, composure, you know, his positional sense. Mee's a great player, and, you know, he's a very experienced. So you take that out. You know, I know Collins came on, but we ended up playing Collins up top, really. It was really, really frustrating. And what made it worse, and I'm sure others before me have mentioned the referee, he lost it. He lost it in the first half. He, you know, you assume that he's not doing it deliberately. You assume he's not he's not biased, but it looked that way, because we were getting booked for similar challenges to what Villa had put in the first half, and they weren't punished at all. And we ended up, I've not even looked, I mean, it felt like seven or eight yellows, but it probably isn't as many as that, it's probably five or six, but we got obviously the red. And then it got really, really niggly, and it didn't seem to be a niggly game, like, you know, but in the end it was exactly that. You know, you've got McGinn complaining every 2 seconds that he, you know, they were just, I don't know what he was complaining about, because they weren't late nasty challenges that were going in, they were just like shoulders to shoulders and a little bit of contact, and you thought he's a bit harder than that. And that's what kind of summed up the game. It seemed like Villa were on at the referee all the time for like we were sort of employing the dark arts, and we weren't really. It was just like a really good battle. I thought it was a really good game. Overall, it was a real cracking game. You know, VAR didn't ruin it necessarily for the yellow for the red card. I thought VAR ruined it because it would have probably kicked off, I think, if it hadn't been cameras there. You know, I think that it got, after the Ollie Watkins celebration. And it all kicked off in the goal net. I think if the cameras weren't there, it would probably be a lot worse. And you know, and as a fan, people say you don't want to see that. And well, you know, I don't want to see players going toe to toe having fights. But I just think some more natural justice would have been meted out, because there was a couple of their players that were kind of winding our lads up, knowing that a retaliation was going to get them red carded, because we were on a lot of yellows by then. And as for Ollie Watkins' reaction, now I know it's bizarre. You know, I'm going to presume it's nothing really, really sort of bad, because, you know, I don't believe it was, because that would have come out by now. I just think it was just an awful reaction by Ollie. If one fan has brought him to torch his relationship with all Brentford fans, I think that's a really awful reaction from Ollie. And I think that's the case, unfortunately. That's the way football works. I think Ollie's burnt his bridges. And unless he offers a full apology, even then I don't think that's going to be enough. I think Ollie Watkins has been very stupid in the way he's reacted. I'm not saying he wasn't goaded, and I'm not saying he wasn't abused, but assuming it's not anything that, you know what I'm saying, assume it's just effing and blinding and calling a player a few names, which happens every time an opponent gets the ball. If he's jeopardised everything because of that one fan, then he's stupid. And I think, you know, he says in his post-match comments that he's on text phone call conversation terms with Thomas Frank. Thomas Frank spoke to him at the final whistle. They spoke. But it's whatever those two have said, and no matter how friendly those two are, you know, Ollie Watkins, I'm afraid, you know, those all that good work has been undone.
Undone work, good work. Ollie Watkins scores a goal. Brentford lose 2-1. Frustrating game. This is the Besotted Pride of West London podcast. We're coming to you from the Globe. We're finishing up our tucker. We've had a bit of taco, a bit of food. We're sitting down there pontificating. We're going to move on.
Great roast, Bill.
Yeah, it's a great roast. We've had a great roast. We're going to move on because we've got Wolves after Christmas. No more games before Christmas. Hey, thank Christ for that. Like I said to you, don't forget to buy us a beer, besotted.com/beer. We had a few beers here today as well. Thanks to all the people that came up to us in the pub and also in the ground and outside the ground as well today to tip your hat to us and just say hello, which is all good. Other than that, though, like I said to you, we're going to try and get a pre-Christmas podcast going. We'll see how it goes between now and then, and if we do, because we don't want to wish you Christmas too early, because we might have one before then. But other than that, as we say, we've got a position.
Come on, you bees!
A bit rubbish at you, wasn't it?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.